guys have your Bibles, if you'd open with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Once again, this passage of scripture that we have been directed to, really where we got our theme, the new man. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me beginning at verse 17, if you would, as we consider these verses once again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to the work of all uncleanness with greediness. As with so many of Paul's epistles, there always seems to be a turning point or a hinge where he goes from important doctrinal information followed by practical application. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, we read really of the wealth of the believer. That is everything that we have been given because of the work of Christ. Chapter 1, for example, you discover that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, including being chosen, predestined, redeemed, accepted, and sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You move into chapter 2, and Paul reminded us and his readers of their dark and dismal past. He pointed out what they were like before they were saved and what they are like now that they are saved. In the past, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world, and we were collectively waiting for the wrath of God to eventually fall. And that was the condition we were in. But then it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, he rescued us, reconciled us back to God through the cross, made us alive together, raised us up together, seated us in heavenly places. Oh, and then in chapter 3, Paul shared about this marvelous mystery of two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles, coming together to form one body, the church. This mystery was hidden in the Old Testament. Veiled, if you would, now revealed in the New Testament, united, one body, was always part of God's plan before the foundations of the world, but now revealed at the perfect timing through the prophets and the apostles. And now that you've been informed of all that you have, that is the wealth of the believer, now Paul begins to speak of the walk of the believer. That is how we are to live. And he draws a very sharp contrast between how we used to live before we knew Christ and how we should live now that we know Christ. Men, let me say to you that when Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, it has been said already, but let me repeat it, your life begins to change. Certain things overnight, most things over time. But several things are impacted when you come to Christ in salvation, the first being your mentality, your mindset, the way that you think, the way that you see things. Paul said here in verse 17, we read it, you should no longer be like the rest of the world. Why? Because the rest of the world, he says, are futile in their thinking. And the word futile means vanity. It only occurs two other times in the New Testament. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, when the apostle Paul describes the creation being subject to futility. Also, it's found in 2 Peter chapter 2, when the apostle Peter uses the same word to describe apostate false teachers who were speaking words of futility, that is, of vanity. Men, futile thinking describes that which is aimless, empty, and worthless. In the final analysis of man's thinking, apart from God, it is aimless, it is self-centered, it is focused on the present world and all of the things that are passing away without any regard for God, any regard for eternity or eternal life. As far as spiritual and moral issues are concerned, their rationale The process is distorted and inadequate, inevitably failing to produce godly understanding or moral living. Our lives before Christ are empty, vain, and without meaning. In fact, it was J. Vernon McGee that said, quote, "The futility of their mind means the empty illusion of life that thinks there is satisfaction in sin." That is what we used to think when we pursued it, when we chased after it. We thought, surely this is the thing that is going to satisfy me. Surely this is the thing that's going to meet that need that nobody else could or no other possession or person could meet. And what did we find out? It was empty. It was vain. That was the mentality. So Paul then describes this was the futility of our mind, and he tells us what the old man looks like. What does the old man look like? Verse 18, look with me. Understanding is darkened, alienated from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them and the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness. Because of the futility of our mentality, the things that we were chasing after, the things that we were pursuing before Christ, our understanding was darkened. Paul put it this way when he wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, he describes what we were going through. He says this, "Before our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." We were blinded. We could not see. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that some of us, we had our own conscience seared as with a hot iron. No feeling. The futile-minded man is darkened in understanding. He calls evil good and good evil. He makes a practice of living a life of lawlessness. He proclaims that immorality is the new morality, that sin is acceptable, that God isn't real, that there's no heaven, there's no certainty, there's definitely no hell, and that God's word isn't the ultimate standard of truth. That is the mentality of the old man. This is the way that we thought, the way that we lived. Our understanding was darkened. Paul said, let me take it a step further. Not just was your understanding darkened, blinded, but you were alienated from a relationship with God. Guys, listen, to be alienated from a life and relationship with God is to be shut out from fellowship and intimacy with the Lord. It's to be a stranger to God, alienated from true life, the life that God is, the life that God offers. All of that was not accessible to us. We were alienated from that because our understanding was darkened and our mentality was pursuing all things that are the flesh and sin and destructive. This is the old man. I'm giving you a description. The reason why I'm giving you this description is because some of you are saying, why do I need to put on the new man? Because the old man is a mess. You got to see what you were to know why you want to be this new man in Christ. This is who we were. And this being darkened in our understanding, it led, listen to this, to being past feeling. Past feeling, meaning we didn't feel anything. When you give yourself over to lewdness, when you give yourself over to the flesh, there comes a point when you just don't feel it anymore. Initially, maybe you feel it. Hey, this is wrong. You feel a little bit of the sting. I probably shouldn't be doing this. But then the next time, it's a little bit easier. Then the next time it becomes easier. Then it becomes a way of life, and it doesn't matter. You're beyond feeling it. There's a process that takes place. Your heart is becoming hard. Disobedience to the word of God, and initially, no immediate result of consequence. You continue along that path. Your heart is growing hard. The Spirit of God is grieved. He can't speak to you. The people of God can't speak to you because you're just past feeling. It just doesn't matter. You just don't care. You don't want to feel. Because when you feel it, then it's like the Lord is breaking through. I don't want to feel it. So you mask it and you cover it up with different things so I don't have to feel. You know, there's men that drink for the purpose of not feeling. I don't want to feel this. There's men that take drugs because they don't want to feel it. I do this because I don't want to feel it. All of these things, just that you're beyond the point of you really become insensible. In fact, a man by the name of Donald Barnhouse, famous preacher, He was approached after a message by a young man who was in the congregation that morning. And this young man, he was an athlete. He was a stud. And he remarked to Barnhouse that when he sinned, he said it didn't bother him. He said, I don't feel anything as you suggested in your message this morning. This young man therefore saw no problem with his practice of sin. And Barnhouse responded to this young athlete. He said, son, if I were to take an 800-pound dumbbell and drop it on the head of a dead man, do you think he would feel it? The young athlete said, certainly not. Then Barnhouse said, the reason you don't feel pain is because you're dead. You're dead. You're past feeling. That's how dead you are. You're not convicted any longer. You do it without even thinking. Your wife says something, stop talking to me. I can do what I want. I'm a grown man. Are you? Because you're acting like a young boy. Wait a second. You're past feeling. You're not even aware of it. And then the natural progression, guys, downward of the old man. Look at verse 19. Given themselves over. There's no fight anymore. I don't feel it. I don't care. I just give myself. Oh, I surrender to these things that have made me a prisoner. This is the life of the old man, to work all uncleanness, all greediness. What happens is you give yourself over to that. And now the only thing that comes from your life is this moral uncleanliness in the widest sense. There's a hardness of heart that moves to a darkening of the heart, that moves to a deadness, and then it's just to a recklessness, just abandoned to, doesn't matter anymore. You're just beyond the point of, at this point, just in destruction. That's the old man. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, but thankfully, it doesn't stop there, guys. But, here's the contrast, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as truth in Christ. Here's the first thing. Put off. If you take notes, I'm gonna tell you three things today and you'll remember it, I hope. Put off, put on, put away. Men, we like bullet points. Very simple. Can you say that with me? Put off, put on, put away. One more time. Put All right, let's close in prayer. No, this is, watch this. Check this out. Here it is. You wish. Hang in there. No. Here's what he says, verse 22, that you put off what? Your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Instead, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we haven't learned Christ. This isn't Jesus. Everything that we just described concerning the old man, that looks nothing like Jesus. So that's not him. That's the old decrepit, destructive old man. That's not Christ. And therefore, because of that, I want to put off, notice this, my former conduct. And the word for put off can actually be translated. It translates in two ways. One, indicating a completed past action. That is our position in Christ. When you come to Christ, I have put off the old person. That's a past action. It's happened when I got saved. But it also is defined as an action the believer is to carry out. There's a sense of an imperative. The distinction is even seen in the way in various Bible translations, for example. Following the rendering translates, it's a past completed action. Now I'm in a new position and it is something that I have also been, I've put it off. I've gotten rid of it. Put off once and for all the former manner of life. Some guys only want to put off part of the old life, not the whole thing. Hey, listen, come on. We don't have to get fanatical about this whole walking with Jesus. I put some stuff off. I mean, there's other things that I think I don't necessarily need to put off. And so you let them remain. But here it says, the Amplified Version says, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off, discard your old, unrenewed self. Why? Why am I to put it off? The reason for putting off, it's the former conduct because it continues to grow corrupt. It doesn't stop being corrupted. It's still corrupt. So if you leave it on and don't put it off, it still grows corrupt. Do you notice what it says? With deceitful lusts. I can handle this. That's deception. It's not a big deal. Ah, deceitful lusts. It's not like they're honest lusts. They're deceitful. They trip men up. That's not a big deal. So I looked at it. Come on. You know, sue me. No, listen. That's the deceptive nature of it. That's the danger of it. It's growing corrupt. Paul's saying that whole character which represented the former self was not only corrupt, but it continues to grow more and more corrupt. And this corruption is dominated or controlled by the passionate desires of deceit. Lusts are excited by deceit, by deceitful influences, seducing one to commit sin. They promise joy, but only bring pain. They promise freedom, but they only bring bondage. They promise comfort, but really end up bringing discomfort. It steals the believer's joy. Listen, when you walk and live like the old man and you know what it is to be a new man, it's a miserable place to be. And it should be, because the Holy Spirit is working inside of you saying, this needs to be put aside. I don't live that way any longer. I am a new man. Therefore, I put off these things and I now live like I'm supposed to live, because this is what God's word says. This is what the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit, that I'm a child of God. Men, listen, Abraham Lincoln, when he freed the slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation was sent out. The slaves were officially free from their many years of servitude, but some of them went on living like they were still slaves. And the president's proclamation, it gave them a legal standing as free citizens. It was a done deal. They were no longer slaves. But out of the habit and way of thinking, many of these poor people still lived like they were slaves, even though the truth said they were free men. Let me ask you something. Are you a free man, or are you a man in bondage today? Have you put off the old man, or are you still clinging to him? Thinking that I can still wear this, it's good. No, it's not. Not anymore. Not if you're a new man in Christ. Not if you've been born again, filled with the Spirit of God. So I am to put off these things that represent the old life, the former conduct, and it grows corrupt with deceitful lust. And here's what happens, men. When we put those things off, it says here, we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Wearing this old garment of the old man does not renew my mind. But once that is set aside, suddenly my mind is being renewed. My mind is thinking the mind of Christ. So now that I put this off, let me pause there and say this. Is there anything today, and maybe the Lord's already spoken to you today, is there anything that God's saying, you need to put that off? If you'd allow the Spirit of God to search your heart today and say, I want you to put that off. Maybe it's something you put off before, but you picked it back up again. It's a funny thing, you know, you think, yo, man, I got rid of that. I was so zealous, you know, but now I'm mature in the Lord. I think I could run with this. I mean, can you run with it? You couldn't run with it back then. Why? Now suddenly you're mature enough to hang with it? No. What is God saying? Put it off. And listen, men, listen to me on this. Whatever comes into your mind when the question is asked, what does God want you to put off? And there it is. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works. We ask the question and the Spirit goes, bing. Oh, not that. Yeah, that. But I thought that was it. No, that wasn't. Okay, well, I guess we're putting it off so I can be renewed in my mind. It's hindering me. So once I put this off through the power of the Spirit, now, here's the second thing, put on. What am I put on? Put on, there it is, the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness. Not a false righteousness, but a true righteousness. Put on the new. Be clothed with Christ. The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Putting on Christ is putting off and then putting on Christ, but don't make provision for the flesh. Have you made provision for the flesh? Well, I just keep that around for special occasions. I don't really, you know, do that often. It's really when I'm really having a bad day and I really need to hit the bong. That's when it's there for a reason. Put it away. I say smash it, get rid of it. Well, you know, California, it's medicinal. No. That's carnal. That's sinful. That's wrong. Put it away. Do it already. Well, I like to grow plants. No, you need to get rid of those. But I tithe some of the money to the church. Keep it. Perhaps the Holy Spirit is speaking today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it's putting off, and then it's putting on true righteousness. So we put off the old man, our minds are renewed. Put on the new man in its place. And now Paul just helps us, like he said, well, what kind of things should I put off? All right. We asked, he's gonna tell us. Maybe you say, I don't have a bong at my house. I don't do that. Come on, John, listen. I'm a successful businessman. Let's read. Therefore, verse 25, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his wife, his neighbor. Who is his wife? For we are members of one another. In other words, don't lie. Speak the truth. Don't exaggerate the story. Give part of the information and withhold part, the other part for your benefit. Did you guys know that a half truth equals a whole lie? You might not be good at math, but you could understand that. I'm not good at math either. Half truth. It's funny, isn't it? The older you get, the greater you were. Stop spinning these yarns. You weren't that great. It wasn't 50 yards, it was like 2. You did not run the whole way. No, I'm kidding, that's a terrible example. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just these lies, these are lies. It's not like we just spin them, like they're real. They're not real, bro. You have no proof. It's true, I don't have any proof. Stop lying. Some men, they lie. They lie to their wife. They're deceptive. They tell her only what they want her to hear, rather than maybe the truth. You tell her what, that old adage, what she doesn't know can't hurt her. Really? It can, especially when the Holy Spirit brings it to light and she finds out. Are you lying? Are you lying to your spouse, to your bride, to the one that you're one with? Let me ask you this. Can she touch your phone? Can she touch your phone? Can she look at it anytime? Hey, that's private. Really? Is it private? Why is it private? Why can't she look at it? You know why? Because you're lying. Can she go to your computer and check your history? What's history? Is that on there? Some of you are getting nervous right now because your wife is at home like. Whoa, it's getting real in here. It's getting warm. Is it just me or is it the Spirit? I think it's the Spirit. I'm just saying. These are things that happen. People just pretending and lying. And, hey, what's cool? What are you looking at? Nothing, babe, nothing. Just looking at something. Nothing that you'd want to see. This might stumble you. Listen, don't lie. Stop lying. Tell the truth. Are you honest? I'll tell you something. One of the things that comes up through the years, I'm speaking across the, just years, 30 years of ministry. Something that comes up a lot of times when there are problems in the marriage, it has a lot to do with honesty and transparency between wife and husband. He doesn't tell me anything. I ain't telling nothing. Yeah, you're shielding it as if nobody knows about it. Hey, have you forgotten that the God that loves you sees and knows? He's aware. He's grieved. Stop. The old man doesn't walk in lies. The old man walks in truth, and the truth sets him free. Nothing to hide, no shadows, no nothing. I don't have to cover anything up and put this over here and delete that email because I don't want her to see that and do this and do. No. Stop lying. If you want to be the new man, stop lying. Well, what else does he say? Well, I'm not a liar. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Ooh, are you an angry man? Yeah, there's 3 words that are used for anger in the scriptures. One is turbulent commotion. Another is boiling agitation. And the other is wrath. All of it's forbidden by the Lord. Granted, there's a righteous anger, indignation against sin and injustice. That's different. Don't call your fleshly anger, hey, that's just righteous indignation. No, that was the flesh. That was the flesh. That didn't glorify God. There's a righteous anger. That's completely different. And then he says, don't let things linger. Why? Because they give the devil opportunity. Don't give place to the devil. What gives place to the devil? Okay, how many of you guys in here, just by show of hands, I raise my hand. How many of you are married? Raise your hand. All right, good, good. All right. Well, listen. What gives place to the devil? Not reconciling with your wife. Gives place to, why are we so proud, man? How we can go days, some of us. Weeks. I'm not saying a word. What's your problem? I'm angry. Why are you angry? Because you're in the flesh and you need to repent and apologize to your wife. Stop being angry. Are you a new man? Because if this is you, the anger and the lying, that's the old man. But the new man is a man that wants to not walk in anger, doesn't let the sun go down on his wrath. He doesn't give place to, I'm not giving any place to the devil. Short accounts. No, let's deal with it right now. Just right there in the moment. Don't give place to the devil. Verse 28, here's something else. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Stealing. Are you a thief? Well, describe what you mean. I mean, it's taking something that doesn't belong to you, pretty much. Anything. Some guys steal and cheat on their taxes. They cheat, they lie. Listen, I don't like paying taxes either, but it's part of the deal, unfortunately. But some guys steal. They do stuff under the table. They try to justify it. I get paid under the table. You know that phrase, I just get paid, they pay me under the table. Do you know under the table what that means? That means, yeah, you're stealing. You're lying. Stop doing that. That's not the new man. That's the old man. We're going to do this under the table. No, we're going to do this on the table. Everybody can see it. It's clear. Stop stealing. Stop ripping people off. Do you have a business? Are you honest in your business dealings? Listen, again, it's happened to me before. People will come to this church and they will say, there's a guy in your, they just come to visit and they want to tell me about the guy. There's some guy here that goes to your church. He gave me the card, said that he goes to your church and he ripped me off. I'm like, I don't know who he is. But if you find him, maybe you could talk to him. What do you want me to do? They're not responsible to me, but they're misrepresenting the Lord out there. They're ripping people off and they got a fish on their card, which was used to be a symbol for Christ. If you have a fish on your card and you rip people off, could you do us all a favor and take the fish off? Or better yet, be an honest businessman. It's hard to find. Hard to find honest mechanics, honest plumbers, honest, you name it. But when you find them, you're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know you existed. An honest lawyer? I mean, really? Is there somebody? No, there are some, but I'm just saying. And they go to this church and I'm thankful for them. But you understand, guys, don't steal any longer. Rather, labor with your own hands. Labor with your own. Listen, guys, you know this. God made us as men to work. He made us, that's built in us to provide for our families. We should be, and I know, I'm looking at a room, man, I know that's your heart, to provide for our wives, to provide for our kids, to provide for our grandkids. That should be something that is within us. It shouldn't be any, the new man isn't a lazy man. The new man just doesn't let the wife do the, listen, the new man jumps in. Hey, I'll tell you what the new man does. Where's Don? He makes his bed. I felt like Don was convicted. I don't know about you guys. And I was just praying. He left early to go make his bed. And I know that Jean will thank me for that later on because she's a sweetheart and her crown in heaven is massive. But I'm just saying, that's what he did. Make your bed. That was the point. Oh, yes. Put off, put on. Look at, here's another one. Verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever is coming out of that bucket, that well of your heart, and just comes pouring out. Did you know that that is an indication of what's going on in your heart? When it says corrupt, the word actually means rotten worn out, useless words. It could be a form of murmuring, complaining, backbiting, spiteful speaking, bitter conversation, putting another person down. How about this one? Profanity, cursing, words that are grieving and blasphemous to the Lord, taking the name of the Lord in vain. It always irks me, always, when I hear somebody say, and please understand, oh my, in that context. I can't, everything inside of me just cringes. And there's been moments where I've said, hey, can you do me a favor? Don't say that. Don't take his name in vain. And that's one way to take his name in vain. But men that are just corrupt with their language, just foul in their speech. And that carries over, you know, on the job or where they're at, and just, you know, saying all these things, laughing at these jokes, saying these things are corrupt and defiling. And you're in it. You're leading it. What about this? Going home. What kind of words? Listen, we raise our hands, we're married. What kind of words are we speaking over our wife? Are they words of complaining? What kind of chicken is this? Is this even chicken? Man, my mom's chicken. Oh, dude, do you want to live through the night? You better sleep with one eye open. Stop it. Are you encouraging her? Are you building her up? Am I building my wife up? This is so important. Our wives respond to edification the same way that you would. When was the last time you told her, you are beautiful? Prayerfully this morning. If not, text her after this. Hey, just wanted to say, you are beautiful. I mean, now respond, the new man, the speech of the new man is altered. When I was pastoring in the southeast of Florida, I was a young guy, and I was pastoring there, and I met a group of guys, and they told me how they would deal with profanity. They said, well, every time we cuss, and that's what they sounded like because they had an accent. They said, we got a swear jar. And we just put money in the swear jar. And then after we get enough money in there, we go out and play a round of golf. I just said, bro, no, you don't. No. Some of you are like, that's a great idea. No, it's not a good idea, man. I'm not giving you a suggestion. I'm saying, ask the Spirit of the living God, like Isaiah, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Take the coal from the altar once and for all and purify this speech. Lord, change my words. If you are profane, if you are vile, if you are disgusting, if you are one of these people that does double innuendos, that mean, like, stop doing that. Be a man of God. Be a new, that's the old man. The old man found those things amusing. The old man would chime in on those things. Not the new man. God, touch our lips. Help us to speak words that impart grace to the hearers. When you're at home, when you're on the road, some people just get raged on the road. They want to pull somebody over and just witness to them. No, you're not witnessing. You want to lay hands on them and not for prayer. These are the things that have to change about the new man. People getting all upset. Sometimes people get upset when they come into the parking lot here at church, start cussing out the parking guys. And I'm thinking, you're on your way to church. I can park here if I want. Okay, you know, I just feel for those guys, and the orange vests are like a target. Just, I mean, don't do that. Don't be that guy. Stop it. Put on the new man. Well, we're almost through. He also says, verse 30, and don't grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Hey, listen, all of these things that we just listed, the anger, the lying, the bitterness, the complaining, all of that, what that does is that grieves the Spirit. It hinders the work of the Spirit in my life in that moment. You know, the Bible says that, I wish I didn't know this one, but I know it, and it's good that I know it. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so if ever I'm at odds with my wife, or I just get in the flesh, or I'm just not, the Lord just reminds me, hey, John, the Spirit of God's like, ding. You know, you're not pleasing me right now, but you can live that way. You can do that, but that's the old man. That's the dead man. You're the new man in Christ. Put that off. Hey, you don't grieve the Spirit. And listen, if you find yourself, and we do from time to time, grieving the Spirit, here's what you do. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Change my attitude right now in Jesus' name. You may pray that more than once, but it's good to pray. Don't grieve the Spirit. And he says this, this is important. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, with all malice be, there the word is, put away from you. So put off, put on, put away. These things, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, put it away from you with all malice. Be done with it. And in addition, here's the new man, be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. This is one I think as men sometimes it's difficult for us. Our pride is injured. If somebody has wronged us, slandered us, attacked our family, said things, whatever. So if somebody, sometimes it's hard to forgive others, isn't it? It's hard to forgive. What I realize is that if I am unforgiving, it's because I've forgotten all that I've been forgiven of. Jesus told a parable about this. He said, there was a man that owed an enormous amount of debt, and he was brought before the one he owed the debt to, and he was forgiven. He could have never paid it back his whole life. He pleaded for forgiveness, and the master said, you know what? Your debt's forgiven. It's cleared. You don't have to do anything. I've taken care of it. He was so relieved. The Bible then says in the parable, he went out, found another man that owed him a fraction of what he owed, took him by the neck and said, pay me what you owe. And that man who had been forgiven was unforgiving. And Jesus tells the parable how he was thrown into the debtor's prison himself because of his unforgiveness. Guys, listen, think about all that we've been forgiven of. How can I not forgive other people if I've been forgiven? Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. That wasn't just for the Pharisees then. That was for us now. Lord, all the things that I've done and you've forgiven me, how can I not forgive? I don't know who's wronged you. I don't know who's hurt you. I don't know what somebody's done to you, but I do know that we are called as the new men to be kind, tenderhearted, and forgive and not be bitter. You know, I want to say to you that there are some men that I've come across through the years who are bound in bitterness. And some of the bitterness that they have is because of the consequences of the sins that they've committed. And they're living with that. And rather than become better and learn from it and grow, they become bitter and angry and just mean-spirited and just think, I'm a Christian. Really? Because, man, I'm really struggling to see it right now because it seems like, I don't know, you're not. But because there's something different about you, right? You know, the guys who shared earlier today, they really gave us the key to the whole putting off, putting away, and putting on. There is one thing that makes this possible, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I know me, I could think, all right, okay, I hear you, John. I'm gonna stop talking, you know, the way I was talking. I'm gonna start being nice on the freeway. I'm gonna go home and pour out all that, you know, Jack Daniel that I was planning on having after the conference. Like, good, do it, stop it, get rid of it. I'm gonna get rid of this. I'm gonna be honest with my wife. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna ask her, babe, would you forgive me? I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna say, you know what? I haven't been completely honest with you about some things. And listen, guys, just because we acknowledge it here doesn't mean we've actually communicated it there. Maybe that needs to happen today. If we want to be the new man, and the only way that we're going to be able to do that is through the work of the Spirit. You know, I tell you, when I discovered, it was a discovery for me, but when somebody pointed out to me that there was a third person in the Trinity that actually empowered the believer to be a Christian, that was revolutionary for me. I mean, I grew up like, this is what you do, this is how you do it, and this is the way you do it, and I believed it, and the Spirit is working. Oh, yeah, he is. I mean, I didn't even know what that meant. And when I discovered what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit coming upon you and empowering you to be baptized with the Spirit, John the Baptist said, as Dennis sang about him, John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming who's going to baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. It's Jesus. When I found out that there was power available to live the Christian life, to actually, I want to be the new man. I really want to be that guy. But here's what I learned. I can't do it in and of myself. But if I will yield to the work of the Spirit, and I just humble myself and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you. Oh man, that opens up the door for the Spirit of God to fall afresh upon us, times of refreshing. Lord, I repent where I've been angry. Lord, I repent where I've been lying. Lord, I repent where I have misrepresented you. Oh, forgive me. Oh, the Bible says times of refreshing will come. The Spirit of God will fall afresh upon us.